George. Thank you, Lord. I am doing good. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. We thank you, Father, for being with us tonight. Lord, we're just looking for your glory to fall any moment. We praise you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for all the work that you're doing to make this tribulation a lot more pleasant than we initially thought. We praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you're bringing down the deep state and all the things that they've done, tried to do to hinder what you want done. And we praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for doing what you're doing right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for turning back all of these immigrants. They've got bust into these voting places. And we praise you, Father, for doing that also in Jesus' name, to vote illegally. And I thank you for it, Father. Lord, just lead us tonight and teach and guide us into what you want us to talk about. And Father, we just give you the praise and the glory for all that you're accomplishing in each and every one of us, Lord. And Father, we just ask and we pray that you keep helping us, keep encouraging us to die to the flesh and to allow you to come alive in us, Lord. And I thank you for doing that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all the provisions that you've given us and blessed those that are coming. We thank you, Lord, for all the healings and deliverances and the salvations, all of those things, Father God, that are coming as well. We thank you, Father, for this open heaven that you've given us, Lord. And we thank you that when we pray, we know our prayers are answered. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I just, for this place here, I just come against any bad weather out of this here too. And I praise you, Father, that we're not going to have any high winds. We're not going to have any tornadoes. We're not going to have any hail. We're only going to have a little bit of rain out here, Lord. Good soaking rain. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that everybody here tonight is going to be blessed by the end of the program. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Lord, bless all my brothers and sisters out there with discernment and wisdom in your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Teresa.
I want to keep lifting up Terry because he's still recovering. He still doesn't feel quite right, but you know, he's getting down to business, what he needs to do. He needs, you know, continued wisdom, continued healing. He is healing. You know, he doesn't feel it so much, you know, because, you know, he still falls into anxiety. Yeah, I would too if I had the faith of his wife, you know. And he still has to deal with things that her and her dad brought on, you know, that false PFA. And he still has to deal with court things, and he still has to deal with the divorce. He doesn't have a lawyer. Well, he's trying to get a lawyer. He's getting his 401k out so that he can pay for a lawyer, because she's just screaming him at what her lawyer is. And so, he needs God to just work in his behalf and just stop all that stuff. And so, you know, so I would like prayer for, you know, that he doesn't fall into anxiety. You know, that God gives him wisdom to see through what's going on and exactly what God would have him to do about it. You know, the direction that God would have him to go. You know, that he stays, you know, God is love. He needs to stay in that spirit of thankfulness and love and praise. And, you know, that all that God is doing in him and for him. And he needs to realize it. And, and give him power against the enemy. So I want to pray for that. I want you to pray, and I will agree with you.
Okay, we can do that. Well, Father, we lift up, first of all, we lift up Terry to you. And in the name of Jesus, right now, I command anxiety. I command confusion. I command every tormenting spirit to go from him right now in Jesus' name. And I don't mean maybe, I mean you leave right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask and I pray that you impress upon Terry to start reading and confessing the word of faith. And we thank you for that, Father. We thank you, Father, for putting great bold faith in his heart and in his mind that he would, what he confesses, he'll have. And if he confesses the bad report, that's what he's going to get. But if he confesses the good report, that's what he'll receive. And I thank you, Father, for doing that for Terry and Teresa too. And Lord, I thank you that the outcome of this court trial is going to be a positive one for Terry. And I praise you and I thank you for that. Lord, I want to lift up, what's his ex-wife's name?
Dina.
Lord, I lift up Dina to you. Lord, she is a tormented lady, she sounds like. And I bind up every spirit that has utilized her to torment Terry in Jesus' name. Every one of you right now, be bound and be gone from her in Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask and I pray that you would send an angel to speak with her about your love and your salvation that you have for her. And I thank you, Father, for granting repentance to her and bringing her into the kingdom. Let this be a great, wonderful change in her and Terry.
Yes.
And Father God, I just praise you and I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that this whole thing is going to turn into a miracle to your glory. Not to anybody else's glory. It's to your glory, Lord. And I praise you for doing that for Terry and Dina too. In Jesus' name. She sounds like a very mad and angry and bitter lady. And Lord, I thank you for cleansing her of that. I command those demons that are moving and driving her to leave her right now in Jesus' name. Every one of you, every tormenting demon, go from her. Unforgiveness, go from her. Unforgiveness in Terry, go from him. In Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you that you're going to place it in Terry's heart if he still has unforgiveness toward her. And Teresa too, if she has unforgiveness toward this lady, that she will start blessing her. Start blessing her very life. And I thank you for doing that, Father, in all that are in this circle of this family circle. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, we're going to see a miracle in this family. A great and wonderful miracle in Jesus' name. I declare and decree it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you for it, Father. And I bind up every tormenting spirit that would try to hinder any kind of interaction that the Lord has here in Jesus' name. You don't have any rights there. Terry is a child of God now, and he has every right that everybody else does. In Jesus' name, and Lord, I thank you for placing it in his heart to start declaring it. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Anybody else want to pray?
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you. It is done.
It's in
done. Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father, for sending your angels right now to start ministering to both Terry and Dina in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Y'all believe that? Y'all want to see a miracle? I believe it.
Yes.
We're going to thank the Lord for it. Thank you, Lord. It's done.
It.
In Jesus' name. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Pat.
Teresa, can I ask you a question? Has Terry made a profession of faith or a confession of faith in Jesus?
Yes, he has.
Okay. All right, Father, thank you, Lord, for that confession of Terry's. Lord, he is a child of yours. You've brought light into his life. You've brought light into his understanding. And Lord, you say that your word is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path, or vice versa, but the same thing. Yes. And Lord, you say that if we walk in the light as you are in the light, we'll have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And Lord, I just ask you to pour in the light into Terry's life and allow him, Lord, grant him grace to repent, to turn from the darkness, the motivations of the darkness, whatever they would be, and grant him to receive your light in fullness. And I thank you for it. Just fill him with the Holy Spirit, Lord. And if he hasn't received the Holy Spirit, that he would seek, that you would put that desire in his heart to know you, to know your voice, and to know your desires and your heart. Lord, just pour in a desire and a craving to find you through the Word of God. And Lord, just to offer himself up to you, to change, to turn, to repent, and whatever you show him to turn, Lord, just give him the grace to do so, Lord. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for the power of your word and the power of your life and the power of the Holy Spirit within us that you've given to guide us into all truth. Lord, just broaden that light in his life and grant him that favor. And thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for your faith. Both of them, in Jesus' name. I'm looking for a miracle in this family. And that's all I'm going to believe. I'm believing that. Nothing else. Don't come back to me saying he did this or she did this, because I ain't going to listen, because I know what God's doing. He's working in. We're going to confess the good confession. Always. Terry's a mighty man of God, and Deanna's coming into it. Is it Dina or Deanna?
It's Dina.
Dina, okay. Good. D-I-N-A. That's Dina, though. No, D-I-N-A-H is Dina. Dina, okay. I got it. Thank you, Lord. I'll write that down. I'll be praying for them. I'll be thanking God for them. That's what I'm going to be doing. All right, anyone else got a prayer request? Or something they'd like to pray about? Yeah, Pat.
Father, thank you for Kathy just told me tonight that she heard of a friend of hers who's, well, I'll just say a friend of hers has had her mother, or I'm sorry, his mother died in 1988. He's living in her house, and he just received a ballot, mail-in ballot, with his mother's name on it, and she's been dead for, again, since 1988. I don't know what that is, 30 years at least. And with a letter or a message in it basically saying, please fill this out and vote for Kamala. So,
really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is. So the fix is in
this. That's illegal.
You know, it's, nah. A little bit lawless, huh?
Well, that's so, the Democrat way.
Well, and I mean, everybody knew that, you know, this whole process is happening. Didn't, I think, wasn't it Julie or just mentioned something, or somebody just mentioned about, you know, bringing illegals in to vote or whatever, but this
busloads.
Busloads, yes. So, and everybody knows that, you know, that was exactly what the reason for it and what was happening. But anyway, Father, I thank you, Lord, that these things are happening. You have a purpose for it, and you have a reason for these things, Lord. But I just pray, even as the video that I watched this morning. Even in the midst of these things, you command us to stand up and resist the devil, and he will flee from us. So, Lord, we exercise the authority you've given us. We bind those spirits that are motivating those people. And Lord, if these illegal aliens or whatever are going to the polling booth and they are allowed to vote, that you would motivate them to vote for for Trump or and the ruler that you are, the president that you are putting in place here. We just trust you for that, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you are turning this tide and turning the attack of the deep state back upon itself, that by your strength, your wisdom, your angels, and we just thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for the truth of the gospel and of the truth of your word, the truth of that you've opened up our eyes to see in these later days, Lord. We know that you have a purpose for all these things that are happening to us. So we thank you, Lord, that our eyes are upon you. And I just pray that these false ballots that are being mailed out in the various different avenues of fraud that are being prepared for and taken to take place, that, Lord, you would overcome those things. We bind those spirits that are motivating those in the name of Jesus. We bind any attempt to derail your plan, your perfect plan for the president that you want in this office, Lord. We thank you that the communists are defeated. These socialists are defeated. They are doing all they can do to try to steal this election again. But Lord, we know that our confidence is in you. We trust you for turning this back, just like you did in 2016, when you rallied the troops and brought people to prayer and ushered President Trump into that position. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for doing the same even in this time coming, Lord. We derail all the attempts of the false media to puff up numbers and do the thing that they did in 2020. We thank you that you are able to turn this tide, that when the enemy comes in like a flood, you raise up the standard of Jesus, the standard of your word, the standard of righteousness and truth in front of it, to defeat it by the power of your word, the power of our confession, and the power of your life within us. We thank you and we trust you for your grace in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to go at it a little different angle. In the name of Jesus right now, we send out the angels to gather up all of these false ballots in the name of Jesus and destroy them. In Jesus' name, and we thank you, Father, that it is already done. We sent them out this afternoon to send all the busloads of illegals back where they came from, and we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, to take that money from them, from the deep state that's paying these people $1,500 to go and vote for Kamala Harris, and I thank you, Father, that that is null and void this moment right now in Jesus' name, and I thank you, Father, that your angels have already cleaned up the dirty tricks of these Democrats in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that. Glory be to God. Amen. It's done.
It is Amen. Done. Tell him. Amen.
Anybody else? Missy, go ahead and hit it. You look like you're about ready to pop to say something. Okay. I saw in the news that the Marines are over in Virginia policing the voting places. We got four or five of them that are going to be open tomorrow, I think it is. Anyway, they've been policing them in busloads coming in to these places at hours and hours before the thing opens up. And they're sending them back home, and they told them in both instances, if you don't go back, we're going to shoot you. That's what the Marines told them. Because they were trying to, one area, they got a little bit nasty with the Marines. one of the guys got nasty with him. But he throwed him down, put his foot on his heel on his neck, and told him, said, if you don't go back, we're going to shoot you. And so that's what they're doing. I'm not saying that's right, but that's the way they're taking care of him. That's what they know right now. What they're telling them is this, that the foreigners, what do they call them? Illegal aliens. They're saying that they were paid, they're going to be paid $1,500 each for their vote for Kamala Harris. Now you tell me what's wrong with that picture. Yeah, see, they're getting desperate. They're doing things that are desperate, that people that are desperate are doing. And it ain't working because the White House are intercepting their stuff. And they're finding out and going to these places and turning them back. I think David will probably talk about it tomorrow. About what we've done. Trump's going to be in office. Ain't no doubt in my mind. And when he's in office, there's going to be some three-letter agencies done away with right then. If you can ever get a hold of what the CIA and the FBI has done to the American people over the years, you would be appalled. But anyway, I think Trump's going to clean it all up. Yep, EBS, they're going to have this emergency broadcast system in place, which is going to shut off the mainstream media, the lying mainstream media. Anytime that you hear a newscaster on mainstream media, which is ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, CNN, all of those that we've known about and trusted, a lot of people have trusted over the years, everything they do is orchestrated by the CIA or the FBI. What do they call them? The Mockingbird. Mockingbird Media. Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
This was what you're saying. It's interesting that it was brought out. I don't know if Is it Senator Frank Church? Is it Frank Church? Who was the senator back in the, I think it was the 70s?
About early 70s? Ultra?
Well, they were having congressional meetings, or not meetings, but investigations of the CIA. And maybe it was in relationship to this Bay of Pigs thing that happened or whatever. But Frank Church, if you Google him or use whatever search engine you want, you'll find that did investigations back in the, I'm going to say it was the 60s or 70s, somewhere around in there, and found and had admissions from the CIA that they had people in the entertainment industry. They had people in the news industry, even in those days. And that they were, you know, it's kind of like the, you know, it was kind of out of sight, out of mind. We, you know, it was brought up then, you know, 50 years ago, and we as a public have been living in our own little bubble of I don't know what it would be, but it's our own little bubble of, you know, trying to make a living and doing whatever and, you know, living our life, so to speak. And there's always been this concept of, well, you know, these congressmen are all, you know, liars and cheaters and whatever. Just, you know, get them out of my way, out of my way into Washington, let them do their thing there and just leave me and my life alone. The only problem is, obviously, that type of mentality, those people do their thing and they end up changing our whole society. And we have allowed that to happen, you know, in this country and quite frankly in the world. But it hasn't been only because of a deterioration in just our passivity in, you know, keeping track of what's happening there. But there is an obvious nefarious motivation behind this system that is trying to take down the free market system of America, to try to take that down and it's that the freedoms that are in America here that were ordained and established by God, you know, I believe 300 years ago, 400 years ago, coming over on the Mayflower Compact, you know, and all that. It was a lot longer before even our Constitution or anything like that happened. I think God ordained America for a particular purpose in the world, and that being said, we have allowed that to be pilfered and taken away from us. And God is raising the awareness of the American people through tribulation right now. And really people of the world, if you think about it, the America is not the only country that is going through these trials and tribulations and everything. So, But anyway, if you look up Frank Church, you'll see these investigations and everything that were happening back then.
I remember when they happened.
Yeah, I've seen clips of it, but I think I was, you know, it was, I don't remember actually sitting down and watching any of that stuff. I wasn't, you know, I was too young at the time.
What's interesting about that? What's interesting about that? Frank Church was a Democrat, one of the last honest ones they had. Really?
Right. And I think that was when the Democrats were, the Democrats of those days looked like the Republicans of, look conservatives today. And that's why I believe it's so hard for, the Democratic voting population to give that up, to give up that mindset. And I think it's taken, the last 10, 12 years to raise people's awareness. And I'm not saying, conservatives as much as I'm saying Democrats raising their awareness as to what's really happening. And a lot of these people are bailing out simply because, they believe in the philosophies of the Democratic Party, let's just say, but they don't believe in communism and socialism, and that's exactly what is being promoted right now. But anyway, I didn't want to get off on a tangent, but I would like to pray also, Father, we thank you for dissolving the financial incentive. We thank you for removing the funds that these people have in order to pervert and deviate justice and just to bring in this lawlessness. Again, Lord, we know that you're using a lot of this for your purposes, and we certainly thank you for that. We do ask for mercy to that you would remove the financial basis that these people have to try to buy and bribe and pervert these leaders that are sent into Washington to govern. So we thank you, Lord, that you're taking that down. You're taking the financial basis for it down, and you're taking the motivation for it down and exposing these for the wickedness that they are bringing into our land, that they are using to derail the governing structure here. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you for even the brief respite that you're giving us with Trump to rebuild and to strengthen and to bring in this time of the harvest that you've brought us into now. Lord, just strengthen us and each one of us in our own individual ways, Lord, that you would grant just the grace to walk in strength as the things that we have been shown, the things that we've been taught, making confession of your name and reaching out and grasping on the promises, holding on to the promises that you've given us and confess them into reality as you are teaching us, Lord. We thank you for that. We just praise you. We thank you for the victory you've given us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pat. Go ahead, Ben.
Just to kind of add on to what Pat was saying, is that I'm seeing a lot of even secular people just being more in tune with a conservative Christian values are, really aren't that bad compared to what's going on around them. I think kind of like the last straw was with what's happening with all those Haitian immigrants. They're not being very nice. And, it's just kind of like, they they respect the morality of what we believe in, I guess, because that's all they really see is the morality of it all. And so it got me thinking, like, Lord, why do you do all these bad things? You know, like, why are all these bad things happening? But then it makes his light shine brighter when it actually, when all you see is this darkness, when the shining light shines through, it's better. Like the shining light shines brighter through this darkness that's around the world. And it's just, it's all getting set up for a purpose. And all I'm just trying to say is that it's getting ready for the man child. It's all getting set up for it, and I'm excited for it because, you know, people are seeing the wrong, and then they're gonna see some great things happening, and so I wanna pray, Father, we thank you for being sovereign, we thank you for being in control of all the things that are happening, we thank you for, these trials and all this little bit of confusion that we might have, and we don't see, every little thing that happens, but all things happen because of you, because you're in control of it all. And we just thank you for, bringing your man child here, Father. And Father, I just rebuke all the witchcraft and curses that are coming upon and that are trying to stop the man child from coming. Lord, Father God, I call for the revival. I've been praying for this revival to happen, Father, to happen to each city, each town, to have a revival, to have Christians grow up in them, Father, true, born again disciples of Christ. Father God, we thank you for your sovereignty. We thank you for your great mercy towards the people that you love. We thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Yep. Let me add on to that. Lord, I just thank you that none of us are going to get anxious because of what we've seen. We're not going to get any anger in us toward anybody. Lord, we just we thank you, Father, that we know you're in charge, like Ben said. You're sovereign. You allow things to happen for a reason. And you also give us the tools to fight this war. And I thank you for doing that also, Lord. And place it in our hearts to fight this war. And don't be negligent in it. And I praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing it. Lord, be the kind. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to talk about, pray about? Testimony. How about a testimony? Anybody got a testimony? Last night, we had a meeting last night, and as we were singing, Jesus came in the room. He just appeared right in the middle of the room, and I walked over and just kind of hung out between David and I for a little while, and it was awesome. We were singing all kinds of songs about him, so it was good. It was really good. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that. Thank you, Lord. I always love it when you come and visit. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you know that you got Jesus with you all the time? You can talk to him anytime you want to. Yep. You can talk to him anytime. Yep. Tell him what you did yesterday. He knows, but he just wants to be our friend. Love on us. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Lord, I thank you for placing it in our hearts to seek you every day. Whether we want to or not, Lord. Kind of like that brother did, that you asked him if he'd be your friend. You couldn't find a friend. You wanted him to be your friend and talk to him. He did that for a year. Every night for a year. And you finally came to him in the flesh and told him from that point on that he would see you everywhere he went. Y'all know that Jesus can be in a lot of places at the same time. That's amazing to me how he does that when he can. I was listening to, or not listening, but reading Odin Hetrick the other day, and he said, Jesus, he said, anytime anybody had a feast or something like that, he said, Jesus would be there. He said, you could have feasts going all over the place, but Jesus would be at every one of them. And that's pretty neat, isn't it? Yeah. I'm going to ask him how he does that when I get up there. How do you do that? Maybe I won't. Maybe I won't. All right, anybody got anything they'd like to talk about? Yeah, Pat.
I just wanted to mention, Lord woke me up about 2:30 this morning, and so if I fall asleep here, you'll know why. And I was. And I listened to that that video that Julie posted, which was very it was enlightening to me in quite a few ways, and I'm not sure if everybody here watched it or anybody here, you know, if you have watched it, was Brandon. He's talking about his daughter, who suffers with autism. And I believe, you know, I'm only putting the pieces together, but I think it happened after a vaccination or something, childhood vaccination or something. I've heard of those instances, other indications or whatever, but the point being is that the Lord brought him through to a place where he was able to embrace that and thank God for that in his life. And the thing that was freeing to me and encouraging to me is that the connection with the Lord. I believe he mentioned something, you know, how can I pray for people for healing and everything when I have a daughter who is suffering this condition and hasn't manifested the healing that the Lord has provided for us. And as he explained it, you know, and the Lord said, and it came out to me this way, I'm just going to say, you know, that the Lord was using that particular situation in his life to humble him and to bring him to a place that he could receive. And I'm seeing more and more of this in my own life. I think it's where the Lord is getting down to the foundation of what I have inherited in the sin nature, in, you know, in the bloodline of Adam, you know, and has, and I'm seeing the very subtlety of that foundation. And, you know, let me clarify, you know, scripturally, that nature has been crucified, and is crucified, was crucified, let me put it that way. So what I and every one of us deals with, having entered into a relationship with the Lord and the crucifixion that he's provided for each and every one of us, what we're dealing with is a remnant. And I think of the, you know, the Baptists used to talk about it, or maybe it was in songs that that we used to sing, and that there's one song that talked about removing the stain of sin. It's not really the sin, but it is the stain or the remnants. It's the image that it was there at one time, but it left a stain. It left an image. It left, you know, an image in that soul, in our soul. And that's the very, the memory of that, or the image of that. I'm going to say it's more of a memory that is embedded in the soul, which the devil keeps coming back, and he points to that and says, oh, you're not free from sin. There it is. There it is. It wasn't crucified. There it is. You see it right there? And it's at that very foundational level where the battle is, you know, where I have the privilege and the responsibility to say that to the devil right then and there, no, that's not real. That's simply a false image, because what caused that image was destroyed on the cross. And it's kind of the same thing as Brandon was dealing with, in a way, is that how can I pray for, you know, for people for healing when I haven't received it, you know, the manifestation of it right now, right here. And it left him in a certain sense or certain atmosphere of doubt, you know, of hesitancy. And, you know, I have felt that myself. That's why that video just so struck me, kind of today. And as I was thinking about that, got up from my Bible reading and prayer and whatnot, went up to, you know, get ready for work. And I got to thinking, you know, and this was the thought that came to me, you know, this may be wrong. I don't know, but I'm just going to throw it out there and you guys can look at it. But I felt, that God hasn't called me to prove to others of his existence. He hasn't called me to prove the existence of God to others. And again, that almost sounds contradictory to what evangelism is. But if you think about it, the only way we can accept God, accept Jesus, is by faith. You know, I'm thinking of a scripture. What is that? Pardon me while I'm stumbling here for a minute. I need to go to, is it John 20? Was this a situation where doubting? Yes. Yes. John 20:24. This is when Jesus, raised, after he raised, and I think I brought this up a few days ago or whatever, but this is when Jesus raised and he came into the room where his disciples, it said his disciples were all shut up. In this first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. And that's, I always look at that. These disciples that had just, been with Jesus for 3.5 years and witnessed the miracles and the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000 or 7,000 and the walking on water and calling the waves, to be still and raising Lazarus from the dead and walked those last 3.5 years and saw him, crucified. And then they were in this room for fear of the Jews, even though they had been told that Jesus, he was going to Jerusalem to be crucified, etc. It happened and now here they were. But anyway, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them, in the midst of the room, and said, "Peace be unto you." And this is where he breathed on them to receive the Holy Spirit. And the interesting thing about that caught my attention yesterday, I believe, was that, interestingly enough, who wasn't present in the room to receive the Holy Spirit? And what is the name that he is known for? Doubting Thomas. And it says, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said, unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." And I thought about that. I thought, how many times have I felt the need to demonstrate to others that Jesus exists? That God exists by convincing them or speaking certain words or whatever. Again, I'm saying this, that this is almost going contrary to our call to evangelize, to speak the word. But, and it said, and even when this one who doubted the existence of God, who doubted the existence that Jesus was raised from the dead, that he did not believe his brothers and sisters. Even this one, Jesus had mercy and came to and said, after 8 days, when Thomas was with them, Jesus came or cometh, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then he said to Thomas, reach hither thy finger to see my hands, and reach hither thy hand and put it in my side, and be not faithless, excuse me, but believing. It was Jesus that proved his existence to that doubting Thomas. That one wasn't the disciples, it was Jesus. And Jesus was, so Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And well, I don't know why. I don't know why I'm getting emotional, but I make this connection because God has not called us to, beyond a shadow of a doubt, prove his existence. He simply called us to preach the word, confess the word, confess Jesus, and let Jesus convince those that need to be convinced. And there's a certain amount of, I mean, it kind of freed me up a little bit, because what is that scripture? Revelation 12. And this may not even connect. I'm just throwing it out as to what, kind of the path the Lord led me through here in the last few days. And I heard a great voice in heaven. Great voice saying, now is come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ, and the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And It's because of the word of the test of their testimony. Our, not our word, but God's word and our testimony of his word. So, because it is that word that penetrates the darkness and opens up eyes to who Jesus is for each individual. It is that word that does that. And of course that word is Jesus. And so I don't know. I guess I just kind of went through a few things, you know, and I, you know, I can see, I don't see this massive, like, you know, wall fall and the sun shining and I'm, you know, all my problems are over, this and that. But I sure see the little bitty tumblers being knocked down and chucked out of the way, and the stones on the path being popped, you know, kicked off or out of the way and making that path smooth. So anyway, I just, I'm probably starting to ramble now. But anyway, I just wanted to share that. It kind of just hit me, you know, it's not up to me to prove or any of us, I believe, to prove the existence of God. It's, you know, the best that we can do is to obey him and listen to his direction and walk in the light that he gives us and trust him that is he and his word, and he knows how to save the lost and bring the lost into a relationship with him. So praise you, Lord. Thank you for your life and your wisdom that you give us, Lord, and your spirit. And thank you. Thank you for taking down the enemy, even he who lurks within us to try to tear us apart from within. You are greater than all our fear, all of our anxiety. And you bring these things to light in us to set us free, to walk in you, to rest in you, to rest in your salvation. And so I praise you, Lord, and thank you for your deliverance, your mighty deliverance. Thank you for delivering us from this kingdom of darkness that we see around us and even the remnants of it pulling us down through the flesh. We thank you that you are greater than all of this and that you have translated us into your kingdom in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pat. Go ahead, Judy.
Everyone, that video that Pat was referring to, there's something in there. There's a lot of things in that video. He was very candid and very open. Brandon has a child who is, I don't know how old she is now, but he said when he originally posted that video, it was 14 years ago. So that would have been around 2014. Anyhow, but there was a lot of things he said in there that just, you know, when you know that God gives you the trials and they're chosen exactly for you for the purposes that God wants to do in you. So he had, you know, he had this child with the, you know, special needs, and they really apparently had a really difficult time with her when she was a baby and the things that they dealt with and their personal lives and such. And you know, what Brandon was sharing in that video was that how God showed up, Jesus showed up, and he said he showed up and he talked to him and he showed him and he explained to him why and all the things that the purpose of that was for. And Brandon was very candid and very open and just saying it's like he had problems and God used this circumstance and his daughter, Megan is her name, and these issues that they had with her and stuff to reveal things about him that he was wanting to deal with Brandon about. And he, you know, explained that it's like, you know, you wouldn't have known these things about him. And, but he was very candid about the problems he had. He was having problems the way he was with his wife and treating her and stuff. And, you know, and anyhow, all that to say is he went on and just said that, you know, Lord was dealing with him with that. He corrected things within him and used all that to show him and the corrected things. And then he also showed him because he wanted to answer Brandon's prayer about, you know, if I could go back in time and change things and not make that decision for her to get the vaccine, whatever vaccine it was that she got, he didn't elaborate, but how, you know, if you really would like to know what his life would, I don't know how he said that exactly, but if his life would be different. Well, anyhow, Jesus took him and showed him what his life would be like had he made a different choice. And it wasn't all rosy. It wasn't really good at all. And he was canon. He said, they had problems with his marriage. His wife showed him that his wife would end up divorcing him and remarrying somebody else. And the other children that he had, he would never have had them. And just all these things he was exposing. And it's like, we can't complain. That was the other thing he said he had issues with too. He was complaining about his daughter, you know, and the problems they had with her, you know, and he had to repent of that. So, you know, it was just a very encouraging video to watch. Just, you know, God really does, and Brandon said this like 3 or 4 times, quoting, you know, Romans 8:28, that God really does work everything to good, for good, for those who love him. You know, that these things, you know, he did encourage Brandon, because your daughter is healed, don't give up. Don't think that she's not today, you know, today is day of salvation, she is healed. You know, just because you haven't seen it manifest yet does not negate my promise. You have to hold on to promises. And you can still go out and evangelize and do healing on people, despite that she hasn't manifested yet. Because that was part of his problem too. It's like, how can I go out and do these things when you haven't, you know, and Megan hasn't manifestly been healed? You know, just real struggles in his mind he had. It's hard about what he was doing and why God hadn't done these things, you know, not manifestly yet. So it was a really good, you know, just something to reflect on, because we all go through stuff. You know, our life isn't easy when we follow Christ, but it's about exposing things in our hearts. We go through trials, and it's about how God deals with us and how he changes us and corrects us and how he loves us and he still loves us. Anyhow, if you haven't watched it in the chat, you've got time. I think it was like, I can't remember, 30, 40 minutes or something like that. But it was really good. I was really blessed by that. So, thanks for bringing that up. It was a good video. It was a good testimony of Brandon's that he shared. Now, that's all I wanted to say.
Amen. Yeah, he's got some good word. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, Paul the Apostle had some inhibitions there too, if he would have thought that way. And he did think that way. He thought, you know, like, he's had gotten anxiety for all the church everywhere, so why would he want to continue? And plus, if a person can believe that, if you can prove there is a God, or if you can prove God is with you, then what happened with Jesus? You know, they didn't believe him. So, you know, one would dare say that logically, you should believe in God if someone can show you something that you can see, you know, like Ron Wyatt finding Noah's Ark or the crossing, the place of crossing into Arabia from the landlocked area. I forget what it's called. But, you know, I think a real key verse there is that verse 29, as it says, blessed, you know, I'll read the verse. Jesus said to him, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed they that have not seen me and have believed. But, you know, what's the difference between this blessed and the blessed in Matthew chapter 5, where it says, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And the blessing that's in Ephesians 1 and 3. You know, when you have a good look at that Ephesians 1 and 3, you know, it says something really cool here. Sometimes I know that you might have this in your head, but sometimes when you look at it on the paper again, you'll see things there just by the way it's printed out. You see, it says, blessed the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the past tense words, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly in Christ. So you see, that's another blessing, you see. And it's saying right there that this is the blessing that he blessed you with, the God the Father that has blessed you with. And if you can prove that God exists, then there would be no more debate. There would be no more need to try and convince people on Jesus Christ or of God himself. So I think that this blessing here, because you know there is a God, because you were called by him. You know, God's the only one who can call us. So, you know, when you were called on that special day that you were called, or even drawn by him, there's a lot of people being drawn by God right now. And, you know, the God's favorite thing he likes to do is right there in one of the most blessed things or pleasing things that he likes to do is reveal the mystery of the ages, as it says in Colossians 1:26. It pleased God to make known to the nations the mystery of this blessing, which is, you know, Christ in you. So one of his favorite things that God likes to do is tell us the blessing of our salvation. So that's just a wonderful thing. And so evidently, you know, you get some very small children who know this blessing, you know, single digit in age, they've been called, you know. And what's the difference between that small child one who is a great study in the Lord? I don't think there's much when it comes with being brothers and sisters in Christ. So this blessings are many that he gives to us. If a blessing is those who hunger and thirst after righteousness so that they shall be filled, and blessed are the merciful for they shall obtain mercy. All those blessings that we studied a few times here are many, many blessings. You know, the last blessing in the Bible is a wonderful blessing that you have access to the gates into the city. What a wonderful blessing there in Revelation 22:14. These blessings for a person who is not regenerated or born again are just not available for him or her. So And that's the difficulty to try and get these things across. But, the Lord is sovereign over us and he maneuvers us in these positions where we can do that when he wants to do it, of course. And that's a blessing in itself, because it's a wonderful blessing to be used by the Lord in any of the smallest matters. I'm sure you've had those days where you were reading the Bible and the Lord gives you a great revelation of something, and a week down the road, you've forgotten that great revelation, and now he reminds you of it. And that's the omnipresent Holy Spirit functioning in you, reminding you of what he taught you a week ago, you know, and these things he does at his convenience for you. And, you know, that's why we can't prove God exists. But, you know, when Michael was teaching us a few of those Greek words there, I can't remember them now, dianoia, I think it was, and there was another one that I saw there, logisimos, but both of them had imagination in them. You know, you can, because you saw a video and you saw them measuring these things on Noah's Ark, and he found every so many paces that the metal detector would go off, but when he did it on the outside of the where the ark laid, there was no metal there. So those are the rivets or whatever he used to put the boards together. You logically assume something, but still an imagination is set there for it. When you've seen the solid gold spoke of the Egyptian chariot wheel on the bottom of the sea there, you have to have an imagination. Hey, yeah, that's it. Or when you see the coral that has formed on this one wheel and the axle, it looks like a T. You know, you have to come up with an imagination here. Why else would they fence off a certain area in Saudi Arabia that has the Black Top Mountain? And you have to get special permission to get in there, because they don't want everyone just traipsing in there, you know, wrecking this archaeological site. But it's for them, you know. There's also a good excuse if you were from Turkey, you take your kids there and say, you better obey God, because look what he can do, you know. So there is a logical assumption of this, you know. There was an Abraham, and he heard from God, and there was a Noah. We have these truths, you know. We know it's we know by the error that happened in the 1800s when they came up with the evolution. We know it's error. So why would this person who had a supposedly Christian background accept an error over the truth? Why don't people logically think that way, you know? And that's because it's been prophesied by Peter that it was going to happen when it happened in 2 Peter chapter 3. So there is even a logical assumption with the error, because the error's only been around for 200 years. But before that, it wasn't there. But, oh, no, they were dumb people, they said. Well, they found out a lot of good stuff when they were dumb people, I'll tell you. Much more than we have now. They even had some better music sometimes back then, too, in worshiping God. And so what is the assumption of trying to prove something? But when a person gets called, he's got the best proof at all, unless you forget your first love, like it says in the Ephesians church, and that happens in the very next generation. Because it was the first generation when Paul went to go visit the church of Ephesus, and then you get those seven verses in Revelation where they forgot lots of stuff. The very next 20, 25 years, you know. You know, like, so you shouldn't feel so bad when you messed up with your kids or something. I don't know what that's supposed to teach us, but that's one of the things it might teach you with several other things. So the proof that there are not these cities anymore in Asia Minor or named that way, what happened? Where are these seven cities that had these seven churches? They don't exist. Something happened in history. Some of the people think, well, the whole city was converted of Ephesus. No, it wasn't, you know. It wasn't all converted. That's the mentality of this new type of Christianity. Why do they say America is a Christian nation? Is everyone in America a Christian? No. So, you see, there's ancient lies. And if they had the best narrator of all, Jesus Christ, how come there was only 120 in the upper room? So there's a lot of questions that people avoid because they're never brought up. But those are very pertinent questions on how it could even be helping a person to say, oh, wait a minute, if I feel so alienated or alone from everyone, is that necessarily a bad thing? No. But there is division, which is wrong, but there is holiness, that's right. How do these two separate? There's division on the left hand, and then there's holiness on the right hand. You know, division is not supposed to be in the church, and yet it's there. And just like we were taught, that which was is that which shall be. So we have a time here that parallels the time of Christ, except that the individuals are corporate bodies, and the corporate bodies that existed back then are even larger worldwide corporate bodies. So you could take Jesus, an individual, who was betrayed by an individual, Judas Iscariot. So there's some people who are going to be very nasty people in the two corporate bodies, just as it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So these blessings are past tense. They're ours. And there's a lot of, you know, I forget how many are in my concordance. When you look at the word blessed, there's a lot. And this one, I think in Ephesians 1 and 3, categorizes them all together, you see. And you know that from what it says, I like to put Mark 11, 23 and 24 together. Because you know what this mountain is. Because God gave you an understanding in your head that that's got to go, and that's what we've been praying for. But there's smaller and greater mountains in a person's life that has to be thrown into the sea. But you know the truth. You know the blessing. You know the fruit. You know the gifts. So they got to go. And of course, the gifts and the blessings and the fruit is all in the hands of our Father. And fathers such as God the Father has great compassion and desire for us. So just like it, the Father would. I have to admit, he does think a lot different, you know, than what a regular man does, but these things he reveals to us, and I just pray that he would keep me and keep me going, you know, so that I could be led by him, guided by him, and kept by him, because, you know, like when you read the life, the love chapter, the first part of it has the smallest word, the easiest word to spell when you were in kindergarten was that word I. And that is the problem in the love chapter, because even though I speak with the voice of angels or I would become sounding brass, because that's the self-life. You see, I, and he said, even if I have faith to move mountains, you know, the love has to be added to it, because it is faith that worketh love. We need the obedience and the belief, faithfulness. So, a person who struggles with believing in God is because I think personally they just don't look at anything. Look at all the evidences that are out there. You know, you could just go down this, go for a drive in the neighborhood. You'll see a lot of churches with crosses on them. Why is it there? Well, yeah, they're all divided and different, but that's proof in itself. All these church buildings with crosses on them. Anyway, people wearing jewelry around their neck, which is a cross, you know. So there's a lot of factors here that people have omitted. And of course, you know, the other day I was thinking, you know, people are talking about this wokeness a lot that's out there. And I go, well, when did woke start? You know, people think it's just a recent thing, this woke thing. But I'd say it's been around for a long time. It's been around in the third letter of John. There was a woke person there. He liked the preeminence of men, and he would have threw out the apostle out of the church, and Demetrius and Gaius that was there too. So there was some wokeness back there. There was some wokeness in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. That had to be corrected too in the church. And don't forget, these Gentiles, they had to come out of the belief of their God, which was difficult for them. But somehow the same revelation we get today happened with them a long time ago. They had to come out of those gods and goddesses in the Roman Empire. Even the deity of that Caesar, and they had to come out of the gods and goddesses of Greece, the ones that were in Asia Minor, Turkey, and Damascus, and Egypt, you know. But over time, other things crept in unawares, especially, you know, after a decree of freedom for the Christians were given. See, that's something we have in our country. But who was the first to give freedom? But look how messed up it got. With me. When Constantine gave freedom, there was the called Christians and then the legislated Christians. It's still the same. So that's something, you know, when there was persecution, there was no legislated Christians, even though there were, because there's evidence of it in the scriptures, of some people trying to bring in legality in the book of Acts. You know, you got to tell these guys to be circumcised and to follow the law of Moses, you know. So that's a very early time for the early church. How many chapters away from Pentecost was that? So, you know, when was the woke started, really? And you know, when the woke comes in, then comes that I'm trying to look for a real nice word here. That dissimulation of Thomas. I don't know if we should be calling him Doubting Thomas. So, I just came to me now. I don't know if we're supposed to be calling an apostle Doubting Thomas. Okay. It's not a really good thing to say about it. So, forgive me, because, you know, I've been taught lots of stuff from the church, you know. These denominations, you know. I just thought of that now. Like, should we be referring to a brother that way? You know, that's not the way you would increase any enthusiasm or encouragement to your sibling. If you, I don't know if I was to say that to my brother, oh, you're a Doubting Thomas. That's not what you're supposed to talk about, you know. Mom's supposed to come and give you a nice bar of soap after that or something. I don't know. But they wouldn't nowadays because that's what everybody's saying in their narrative, you know. Anyway, I hope this kind of helps people because there's a lot of dissimulation. I'm going to say it that way because it's a safe word. That's what Peter said about, Paul said about Peter when he had his dissimulation. And, you know, after all, there's the young man in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, which I believe he got saved and he had a more of a wokey, bigger dissimulation, I guess. You know, what about the guy who fell out of the third floor rafters in the book of Acts? You know, everybody wants to meet that guy, you know. Like, why were you so tired, you know? He's a young man there. I don't know if they had any sort of ball games they played back then, you know. Football, soccer, or baseball. But he was a teenager, so, you know, of course he's going to be tired, you know. You know, you might find yourself getting tired sometimes listening to some of the things because, you know, it's very persuasive. It's very comforting. You can get too comforted and fall asleep sometimes when you listen to things. So anyway, I'm not blaming that guy anything, you know, like what was wrong there. That was a Romans 8:28. He made it come out for good, didn't he? So praise God. Glory to God. That's all. God bless you all, because you're already blessed.
Maybe it is. Thank you, Andrew. Go ahead, Pat.
You know, I was just thinking that when, you know, the Lord, you know, created this whole world, this whole earth, to, you know, as an incubator, I guess you might say, or to put us in this system that opposes, for the most part, opposes God, so that we, and the only way we make it out of this environment is by faith. And faith is the way that God's kingdom works. I know there's kind of that found, you know, I don't know, foundational thought, or maybe it's this underlying thought that, you know, once we get through this faith building process and we get into heaven, we don't have to worry about faith, living by faith anymore, because it'll all be sight. However, I think God's kingdom is his reality is faith. That is his reality. And he's just trying to, you know, his goal basically is to move us through this opposition of this world system that can only be overcome through faith in order to prepare us to live in his family of faith for the rest of eternity. And I'm springing back to the video that Julie posted again. I would encourage you, if I don't know if Julie has posted it in the chat, but I would encourage you to listen to it, because it's very, it explains exactly, you know, gives you Brandon's experience of what I'm sure we're all going through on a daily basis. But I was thinking of the example. Isn't it interesting if you go back to the life of Joseph? And of course, Joseph is, you know, is one of the primary types or images of Christ, you know, in the Old Testament, pictures and types. But if you look at his life, it's interesting that when he was a young child, God gave him a dream. And a matter of fact, I think he gave him two dreams. He gave him a dream, a vision that he saw God's purpose for his life. And I'm sure being a young child, you know, or maybe a teenager at the time, I don't know, he probably saw that and, you know, the first thing is, boy, I'm going to be great. I'm going to do all these things. God's got me picked out because he's going to do all these marvelous things with me. And I'm, you know, oh boy, I must be great, you know, and I must be, and all these things that went through his mind and probably all the things that could have potentially gone through his mind. And what happened is he went out to visit his brothers, and they, being envious of this dream, and probably his father was maybe a little irritated at him as well, had him tossed in a hole, and they were going to kill him. And it was only by the mercy of one of his brothers that they had mercy on him and sold him to some slave traders as they went by. And they thought they had washed their hands of this dude. And then the guilt that piled on in their lives, and the curses probably that were generated and spawned in their generations and in their children's children, etc., and whatever. And just the potential and the devastation that happened in Joseph's life as he, on one hand, had this vision, this motivating, inner motivating image of what God had put in his heart, and yet he saw it destroyed right in his eyes. He saw his life literally go down the tubes. And Psalms, David has a rendition of that, what happened there. And, you know, you can go through all the, even in the times when, you know, he got sold, and he got sold to one of the, one of the rulers in Egypt of some sort, you know, or captain of the guard or whatever it was. And he thought, oh, okay, God's, you know, he's going to make this thing happen. And boom, he gets nailed by, you know, a false accusation, and he ends up in the slammer. And, now he's in jail. He's not only been sold a slave into a slave nation, but now he's in jail. You can't get him. Well, as I talk about that, you can't. Oh, it's humorous. You can't get back. I'm sorry. Sorry, Joseph. You can't get much lower than that to be tossed in jail in a slave nation. Yet God took those things, and in Psalm 105, starting in verse 16, he says, and this is God, and God called for a famine upon the land, and he brake the whole staff of bread. Because God had another plan. God was working on the previous set of plans that he had with Abraham way back before. And he sent a man before them, Joseph. And what did he do? He sold him for a servant. His feet, they hurt with fetters. He was laid in chains of iron. And he literally went through hell. And I'm sorry, I just added that in there. Until the time that the word came to pass, the word of the Lord tried him. And that had to happen in Joseph's life in order to bring to pass the word that he gave him in that vision and dream when he was a child, when he was younger. The second set of events in his life were necessary, the necessary fulfillment in order to make that original dream and vision happen. And it wouldn't have happened had he somehow tried to avoid that situation. And I quite frankly believe that God made it such that he didn't have the opportunity to avoid it. He not only took him into a slave nation and put him under bondage, but he had him thrown in jail as well. Wow, it was amazing. If you listen to what Brandon spoke in that in his testimony of what the Lord did in his life, and then go back and listen to what the Lord said to I might be getting his name wrong. Was it Silas? It was one of the Ananias, maybe, that when Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus and blinded him and sent him into the city, he sent, I believe it was Ananias. I have to go back and read that. It was. And Ananias said, But Lord, you want me to lay hands on Paul that he might receive his sight? But this guy is a murderer and a killer. And he was sent with the very intention of destroying your kingdom in Jesus. Said, go, for I have many, and he mentioned that Paul has many things to suffer for his namesake. Many things to suffer. And it was that very suffering in Paul that prepared him to be able to navigate and move, having known that he himself was the killer, the murderer of this, of Jesus, so to speak. Jesus said, who am I? It is I that you are persecuting. It is me that you're persecuting. And it was that very vision, that guided Paul, that kept him on the straight and narrow path towards Jesus, towards heaven, towards that heavenly calling, that allowed him to go through that path of suffering. And in the process, that path of suffering removed from him the very bondages that kept him from being Paul and not Saul. It had to pull the Saul off of him and drag him through the mud of the earth and bring him into who he was as an apostle. So I'm just seeing more and more and more the opposition that God places in our lives, but yet he doesn't leave us without the weapons of our warfare and praise and agreement with God's word and this whole process of praise and confession and bringing this old man to the cross and bringing this new man into the light of standing in his word is just an excitement that is starting to I'm starting to see the way through the path, I guess you might say. So anyway, the more you see, the more you see that this is exactly the path that God has led his people through all through history. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Hey, Michael.
Yes. I'm sorry.
Sorry, I didn't mean to put you to sleep, Michael.
Well, no. I was actually thinking about something. Sleeping. I did want to... I just want to read this out of Progressive Intimacies. Prophetic preparations for perilous times. Can y'all hear me okay? That's the first and only time I've ever done that. Today. Okay, for I am a holy God and jealous for the heart of my people. I am jealous for the lives of my children. I am longing for those who will lay down their lives for me, as I have laid down the life of my son for them. I'm waiting for those who will give their lives and their destinies to me in reckless abandonment. Know that I have prepared a reward and an inheritance to those who choose to die to themselves and to live for me. There is truly no greater love than this, than a man who would lay down his life for his friends. My children will know this love. My bride will know that this is my heart. She too will choose to lay down her life for me and for the world as I have laid down my life for her. My bride will be marked by the world as the one she has truly walked in the love of their father, not the church or religion or man-made denominations, but my holy bride alone will be known for the love that she has for me, for one another, and for the world. This is the holy and pure bride that I am preparing, a bride that will love with simplicity and with diligence. She will know and understand the simplicity of the gospel. Her foundation will be that of true, holy, and pure unconditional love. The greatest threat and attack of your enemy will be to steal away that pure and holy love that you will have one for another. If he can steal this away from you, your heart will become hardened toward me, and you will lose your first love. This is his plan and his ploy. It is an attempt to get you so hurt, broken, and offended that you will not be able to forgive. This root of bitterness and unforgiveness is what has destroyed the lives of so much of my body. Because they do not learn to forgive, they cannot receive my healing power and grace that I desire to give to them. But this will not be so with my bride. She will walk in that unconditional love and forgiveness. She will be the one that will not give offense nor take offense, but will walk in the fullness of my healing power, that she may go out and heal and restore the world around her. So know this, my son. I require you and my bride to step into the fullness of this agape walk so that you might truly overcome the wiles of the devil. Be assured that I am preparing my bride and teaching her to wait upon me and learn of me that my rest and my love might be established in her. I will establish her heart in my grace and in my strength, that she will know that her sufficiency is not in or of herself, but completely in me and in my grace. My grace is truly sufficient, for in her weakness my strength will truly be perfected in her. She will be a bride that is strengthened, settled, and established in the fullness of my peace and of my love. So move forward in my spirit, guarding your heart, guarding your thoughts, and guarding your tongue, that you might not give any place to your adversary. Speak with the tongue of the learned, the oracles of my spirit, and lean not upon your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge me, and I alone shall direct your path. Cedar. That was received on Wednesday, December 24th, 2003. Praise God forevermore. Yes, Lord, place that love in us. Lord, we want your love. Move our heart and replace it with your heart, Lord. And we thank you for that. We praise you for it, Lord. We thank you that we will walk in unimaginable love for even our enemies. And I thank you for that, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you have set an oracle. You have set a watch before our mouth to speak only as an oracle of you. And I praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you do. You give us love, and we receive that love. And Lord, we thank you for helping us to walk in that love. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right. Anybody got anything else they want to say before we close out here in a little bit? I wanted to talk about faith tonight, of course, but the Lord had a different plan, and that's good. That's good. The question that I was going to ask was, what is faith to you? and maybe we could talk about that Thursday night. I mean, what does it mean to you? No, Thursday night we got praise and worship. So put your requests in the praise and worship chat out there. Whatever it's called, I forget what they call it. Yeah. So just put your request out there and I'll get them and put them in a list and we'll just all sing and dance and have a good time Thursday night. And if the Lord willing, next Tuesday night, we'll have something on faith. Amen. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Hey, I apologize for tripping off this app. You gotta forgive me though. I mean, there's no, you don't have an out.
I'm trapped by the gospel.
Absolutely. What is the gospel? Everybody ought to know that one, for goodness sake. What is the gospel? It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it, isn't it? Amen, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Michael, we're just grateful that you weren't sitting in that upper window.
Oh my gracious.
Well, didn't Paul go on and on and on that night, way, way late, wee hours of the morning? He could stay awake.
You didn't have to say that, Julie.
Oh my. Well, it's great that we can laugh about it, each other. Oh man.
I'm telling you right now, that boy, whatever his name is, he's probably the most rambunctious worshiper in heaven that you'll ever see. That young man is he can sing wonderfully. When we get there, we'll see that. That's for sure. He'll be so vibrant and awake, and he'll just be a wonderful person, as we all will be. Praise God. I'm sorry for even saying that. You know. Okay, so
I can tell.
That's a wonderful testimony, and it's a wonderful thing that happened there. So, praise the Lord. Glory to God.
Amen.
He's a wonderful brother. He is a wonderful brother, and he's always a wonderful brother.
Amen. I'm sure he's glad he made it. All right, looks like we're rolled down here. Y'all be blessed, you hear? I better hit the right button, huh?